Millions of Americans are assisting elderly parents or loved ones and helping them when it comes to critical health care decisions needing to be made about the best level and type of care to choose. With the proliferation of beautiful nursing homes opening around the nation, some being described as skilled nursing facilities and some with rehabilitation in their name, what do we need to know? What are the levels of care in a nursing home versus an inpatient rehabilitation facility? What does the research show when it comes to outcomes? What are the results? What type of facility provides more comprehensive care? These are critical questions we need to ask should the need arise in our lives. What do we need to know, and what other kinds of services should we be thinking about to make the best possible choice? Let's find out. Hey everyone, I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and we're going to get down to earth to learn about selecting rehabilitation services, knowing our apples from our oranges. Such good information we have to be sharing in the next 30 minutes. But before I introduce our guest, two quick shout outs. First, to the sponsor of the show today, Tucson Medical Center. They really are at the heart of so many important programs and have critical and purposeful partners that help to address a myriad of health issues in our community. Since 1944, which means they're coming up on their 75th anniversary very soon, members of our community have counted on TMC to be here for them when they are at their most vulnerable. Tucson Medical Center has been entrusted with this legacy, and they continue the tradition of providing the people of Southern Arizona exceptional health care with compassion and so much more every single day. We are so proud of this partnership at Mrs. Green's World, and I mean that very authentically. We appreciate their support and the great work they do. Okay, now a very quick tip about saving money on your energy bill, which helps you have a healthy wallet. Another Mrs. Green's World partner, Tucson Electric Power. There is such a thing as vampire energy use, and it does suck the energy out of your appliances. Vampire power draw can make up almost 10% of your energy use. By choosing the right advanced power strip based on your habits, you can reduce energy wasted when your electronics are idle. And just go around your house for the fun of it and look at everything that's plugged in. And if it's on a power strip that you can turn off, the vampire goes away. So that is one that I have taken seriously. Turn your computers off, unplug your coffee pot, all of those things. Okay, so now without further ado, this patient in-studio guest, let me welcome him. Please join me in welcoming him. His name is Jeff Christensen, and he is the CEO of Encompass Health. Jeff, it's really great to have you here.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being here.
You know, I got excited preparing for this interview because, unfortunately, my parents have passed. I was up against these decisions, what to do. It's so much responsibility. And of course, now I have friends with parents that are facing a lot of the same decisions. And it's not just for elderly. I mean, there's a lot of pieces to this, but the majority of the people in my life are looking at those decisions. So Jeff Christensen, tell us about your facility, including the name change, like rebranding. We talked a little bit before we got on air about it. It used to be Health South. Everybody knew Health South.
Health South was started in Birmingham, Alabama, probably about 30 years ago. And initially, it was mainly a southern hospital. So recently, we've expanded to 130 hospitals through in 31 states, including Puerto Rico. And Health South just doesn't fit our brand
anymore. Right, because it's health lots bigger. Mm-hmm.
Yes. We're back east, we're up north, we're out west. So we had a branding campaign put together, and the name that we chose was Encompass Health.
And I really like it because it does, it's purposeful and it gets it. Mm. It's a very holistic name is what I would say.
Yes, yeah.
And do you have to go explaining it? Do people say, I want to go to Health South? And you say, you're here.
Yes. A lot of people are saying when it's recommended to them to come to Encompass Health that, no, they'd rather go to Health South. Well, it's a good opportunity to explain our name change.
Say, well, you're here. How do you like it? So there is a lot of confusion. And I really did my homework, and I read the information that you provided. So I want to help to help get people through the maze, which I found very helpful. There are skilled nursing facilities. They may have rehabilitation in their name. I am the public, and I don't understand the difference. So could you walk us through a little bit what the differences are and why it matters?
Sure. Actually, I was at a meeting this morning where we were talking to healthcare professionals that didn't understand the differences.
It's confusing, and yes. It's a confused space up there.
Yeah, there's several what we call post-acute services that can be provided after you're in the short-term acute care hospital like TMC. There's long-term acute care, which is called in our profession an LTAC. There's an inpatient rehab hospital, which is what Encompass Health is. There are subacute units, which are also known as skilled nursing facilities. And there are home health avenues that people can take once they leave the hospital, if required. And there is a continuum of care, and there's different services provided at each level. In our level, each patient, when they come to us, will receive 3 hours of therapy a day at least. I was just in a patient's room before I left, and she had 5 hours scheduled today, and she was actually complaining a little bit about that it was too much.
I bet. So physical therapy.
Yes. Physical, occupational, and speech therapy are the three main therapy services that we offer during the inpatient stay. And the patients, in order to come to a rehabilitation hospital, they need to participate in at least two of those and be able to tolerate 3 hours of therapy as well as have the potential to improve.
To be admitted?
Yes, that's the admission criteria, and to have to have medical supervision by a physician.
So this may be horrible of me to admit, because I probably should know it, but maybe it's a blessing that I've never had to. What is occupational therapy?
Funny.
I don't think I'm the only person that doesn't know the answer to that, but I admit it on the air.
It's funny you ask, because I am an occupational therapist as well.
So you'll
as the
be able
CEO.
To answer that quite well.
Occupational therapy focuses more on function and getting the individual back to their ability to complete their activities of daily living, their job. It's not just their occupation, but if they had a severed arm, they work with patients on recovering, adapting their abilities so that they're able to get dressed in the morning, do their breakfast, shower, bathe, whereas physical therapy focuses more on the strengthening and ambulation component. So it's a very good complement with physical therapy, but it's a lot of different skills, perceptual skills, cognitive skills that we work on.
So
well.
You would be a gatekeeper in terms of their ability to go back to work.
That's true. And one of the misconceptions of, because of the term occupational, that it's just for work. But if you're retired or you're a child, your occupation is playing or getting dressed.
Life.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's getting you back to what you were doing prior to the injury or illness.
So I'm trying to understand, does the healthcare professional or the doctor, do they know what the choices are when they're referring the patients to you? How does that work? I mean, healthcare professionals today have to know a lot. So how do you educate them to know that they're referring the right person for your facility?
We're constantly educating people because people are confused, especially...
It's confusing.
Yes. A lot of people use the word rehab and people automatically assume it's a rehab hospital. A rehab hospital is different. We have more intensive services than a skilled nursing facility. And some of our patients that we would not take into a rehab hospital would be a patient that maybe couldn't tolerate 3 hours. They're not quite ready for the intensity of our program. So they would be a candidate for a skilled nursing facility rather than our facility. On the other side of the spectrum is the long-term acute care hospitals. Those patients are too sick and have a much higher level of acuity or illness level to participate in 3 hours of therapy, so they may go to that facility. But you would think healthcare professionals would know the difference, but there is some confusion in there, and we're constantly educating people. Like we were in front of a group of 50 case managers and other healthcare providers just this morning talking about the differences between the four levels.
And there's staff turnover, people change. I mean, there's a high demand for healthcare professionals in general. So give me an example of, tell us a story about a patient to put it in context. So if a patient goes and has massive surgery, for example, mm-hmm. and on their leg, mm-hmm. okay, they might be not well because of their age or general health to come to you yet. So they might go to an interim facility until they're ready to come to you?
They may. Typically, yes, you're absolutely right. They could go to another level of care, and we would follow them there. And in a week or two, if they were stronger and they could tolerate more therapy and could benefit from our services, they would come to our facility from that.
So is your purpose for Encompass Health to really get people healthy in the shortest amount of time and get them, move them in and out? Talk to me about some results. What are you looking for from beginning to end?
Sure. Well, our average length of stay at our hospital is about 12 days. So people don't come for a long time. They're usually there about 2 weeks, say. And some stay a little bit longer, depending on the injury, and their abilities. Spinal cord injuries obviously are a little more complex and there's more involved, and they would stay 3-4, maybe some even 5 weeks. But generally speaking, it's about 2 weeks. A patient gets stabilized at the acute, short-term acute care hospital like TMC, and after they're stable and they still have needs, they still can't get out of bed by themselves, they can't bathe themselves, they can't function as they were before, they need a little help and strengthening. Those are the patients that would come to us. Our goal is to get them home. We don't want them to go to another level of service. We really want to get them home and functioning independently again, or with as little help as possible.
So if you are not careful, you literally could put someone you love into a skilled nursing facility when they might need what your services are, and I would think the outcomes and the results are quite different. Is that a fair statement? Knowing a lot about the industry.
Sure. And, you know, there are pros and cons to all the levels of care, but you need to be careful when you have a loved one in the hospital on what they would need. And a lot of insurance companies will push for the cheapest.
Shocking. I'm just kidding.
The cheapest.
I'm keeping sarcasm out of the conversation, but it's kind of sad. You have to fight for your rights.
Exactly. And that's what we encourage families to do, is to make sure. We encourage them to tour the different facilities. Go to if they're recommending a nursing home, go to the nursing home, go to the rehab facility, and talk to someone who's educated in what's provided. I've talked to people before and told them that, they're placing you in the correct place, or yes, absolutely, your mother could benefit from coming to rehab. You know, we have enough business out there. We're pretty good about trying to get you to the right place.
But that's a great point. Mm-hmm. It's not one's bad and one's good.
Right.
It's what's appropriate
at the time
for the need at the time. Yeah. So
exactly.
It's good. It's really good. I mean, I have my oldest daughter is going back to Pennsylvania to help with a relative. And there's so much that you have to know. And with HIPAA and forms and all of that stuff, it's a big responsibility, especially when the role is reversed, that you've had someone that you love usually taking care of you, and now you're in charge. You're the caregiver. Okay, what about, I like to say this, and I think it's relevant. It's a bias on my part. To me, all good organizations have valued partners, because you can't be all things to all people. Mm. It's impossible. And people who try to do that don't. So give us some examples of who you're partnering with. I would assume the hospitals, but do you partner with like American Health Association, Heart Association, or, you know, the American Stroke Association? Who do you work with, and what does that look like if you do?
Sure. Of course, we work with all the hospitals in town, and some out of town, actually. We provide them with reports after the patients leave us, so that they know what the outcomes are of their patients, which the case managers and physicians really appreciate.
Right.
the American Heart and American Stroke Association I've been involved with in the past and for many, many years. And they have partnered with us and have put out research papers regarding the care given at a rehabilitation hospital is definitely superior and suggested after having a stroke. And we've seen patients that have not come to a rehab hospital and because of misinformation that have gone to an inappropriate either home or to an inappropriate setting. And they've gotten to us 6-7 months later, and it really would have been a different outcome if they came after.
A faster recovery.
Yes.
Right? And quality of life. So do they serve as an educational partner to you? Is that primarily how the Heart Association and Stroke Association,
yes,
they work?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, we have the same goal to eliminate heart and stroke disease and to get the best care to their patients, the patients that do suffer from a heart attack or a stroke.
Last night, we were up in Phoenix, and we were just so blessed to hear a presentation for the Arizona Speaker Series by Dr. Sanjay Gupta.
Oh.
And it was really so much more than I expected. I had positive expectations, but what he has done and what he represents in terms of marrying media with medical, I mean, he told stories that had us on the end of our seats on the one hand, but then he also talked about your, to your point, the minuscule amount of our general population that takes the majority of the care in terms of dollars, and it is around heart and diabetes and obesity and what it is costing us to not be healthy. And the host, Gary Lauer, asked him about what would you do? And he said, I would put all of our efforts to focus on that very minuscule percentage of the population that needs really acute attention, not even care, but re-educating them about diets and on and on. It blew me away. In many ways, so.
One of my friends attended that yesterday.
And did you hear?
I haven't talked to her yet. I just know she went.
You know, and one of the things that I find more and more and more in what I do and the conferences I go to, people are interested in stories. They love stories. They don't want a lecture. They don't want a bunch of facts thrown at them. But give me a real live person and tell me about them. And he told compelling stories because he goes on the front lines in all of these war zones, not as a doctor, but as a media person, and has been called upon to be the doctor. So, and he injected humor, but it was very, I was really impressed. But to your point, we have to focus on getting healthier and prevention instead of rehabilitation and, you know, surgery and hospital care. Do you do anything else in addition to inpatient care? Do you help with in-home care, which is less expensive but also critical? Is it just?
Yes, we have a home health agency as well. And in addition to that, we also have outpatient services at our facility. We see about 1,000 outpatient visits a month.
Okay, so that to me is encompassing health because sometimes it's just not enough to be treated in the facility. You need a little bit extra in-home care that makes it happen. Okay, what about, I have one more question about, do you have support groups? Because I remember when my dad had a heart attack, and he was a tough Irishman, man. I loved him. Not hard, loving dad, but tough. He was a tough Irishman. And he had a heart attack. And he, for the first time in his life, I saw him like withering away, depressed. And my mother and I were on it, and we called, you know, his heart surgeon, and he said he has to go to rehab. Cardio rehab is critical for recovery. It saved his life. Mm-hmm. It did, Jeff. He went. He's not a joiner. I don't need to join and go around and be with a bunch of people. He went, and it was transformative. And he came back and lived many more years because he had support groups. So for the kinds of traumas you're treating, do you offer that as part of Encompass Health?
We do, and we have support groups at our facility, and we also have our biggest ones are the stroke support group as well as brain injury. We have some other various groups that meet at Encompass Health at RIT Rehab Institute of Tucson that aren't particularly our support groups, but we give them the space, and we think it's so important to be a community partner. So if people have support groups out there and there's not a location, we assist them in having their groups at our facility.
And, you know, having managed large-scale mental health contracts around the country myself, it's like, show me your partners and I'll tell you who you are, because it's important to just, nobody can meet everyone's needs. So it's very impressive to me in the research I did that you're good partners. And here's another example. Let them use your space, and that's a critical part. And you see, as a clinician and what you do you just advise most people to get into a support group, or it really depends on what the injury was, and sometimes it's in and out.
Yeah,
and, you know, I have a bad break in my leg. I don't need to go to rehab.
Right. It depends on the injury, of course. And support groups aren't for everybody, and people aren't always ready at the same time.
Right, right.
But we give them the information and let them know we're there. And I know several people that have thanked us for waiting for them, and they've shown up at our
That's a wonderful meetings. Piece of it, too. You're right. Everybody comes to their own realization at a different time, so it's exciting. But I think it's great for our listeners to know that if they have someone, and watch for signs of depression, because it really can lead to their dying prematurely. Depression is, if you don't get up and get on your feet and make it happen, it's a slippery slope.
It's very relevant in after an injury or in the elderly. So we do need to watch for depression.
Now, one of the things I got in some of the notes for the show, which I would like to talk about, even though the date has passed, tell us about what you were doing with the amputee clinic and Hanger On.
Yes.
I want to know about that.
Well, it was, we have partnered with Hanger, a prosthetic company in town, to help our patients that have had amputations. And we've seen a significant growth in what we've done. And 2 weeks ago, we had a wonderful community-wide mobility clinic. It was a free clinic offered at South Point. South Point was generous enough to let us use their facilities. And we had about 20 amputees show up. It was our first year, so we were pleased with the turnout. 20 amputees and about 40 community volunteers showed up, including the South Point track team. So that was wonderful that they helped. But we had people there that used to run, used to play soccer, and hadn't run in 8 years. And one individual comes to mind that broke down into tears once we got her up in a special prosthetic blade, and she ran on the track. And it was really moving. I've been doing this for 30 years, and I still got all choked up.
I was going to say, do you pass out tissues that day? Because that, what a story that is. That's the kind of story that people love to hear.
Yes.
I'm going to physical therapy at Proactive right around the corner, and one of the interns there, just a delightful young man, was talking about how he was helping with the wheelchair basketball at the U of A. And he told me a lot about it, how the U of A is actually a place where, you know, young people in wheelchairs come because there's so much going on.
Very few universities still have adaptive sports programs, and the University of Arizona has a large one. And we also partner with them. They were actually at the mobility clinic. They brought some of their
That's what made me think bikes. Of it. I love that.
Yes. So it's a great resource here in town.
Well, tomorrow is a big day in Tucson. This podcast will be broadcast after it's over, but tomorrow is El Tour. So, don't go out in your car. But as I said, the warning will be too late. But I'm going to help with the children's clinics because last year they had 120 kids on adaptive bikes.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's
they
wonderful.
Bought them and they built them, and the parents come out and they're all dressed up. And you talk about a box of tissues.
Mm-hmm.
These are multiple handicapped kids, and they're out there. Mm-hmm. And it's a joyful thing to see, and a message to our world. Incorporate them because it helps with their quality of life.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. So did I forget any big things that you want to share? We will get all of the information about how to find you. We have our show producer does the most wonderful show notes, but I don't know if I hit every point. I read those brochures, and I was personally very curious about it because of the confusion that's out there.
I think you hit most of the high points. The one other point that I just want to make sure people are aware of when they are at our facility or our hospital, that they are seen by a physician every day. And we have a multitude of specialists, cardiologists, nephrologists, pulmonologists that also come to our facility, infectious disease physicians. And in this day of age, you need all those specialists to help provide the care for our patients. And we try to provide the most comprehensive care we can for our patients. I've been in rehab for 30 years. I met my wife in rehab.
And, Love it.
Yeah, she's a speech therapist. So, but rehab's been really good to me. And I couldn't think of a better job being an occupational therapist or a CEO for a rehabilitation hospital. You really see some great things happen. And it's my background as a therapist makes me get out on the floor and talk to the patients and their families. And that's my favorite part of the job, seeing how well they're doing. And the fact that we have an outpatient clinic and they come back, you know, after they've been discharged, we keep up a relationship. And it's really neat to see some of these patients 3-4 months after they leave us and how well they're doing.
So I do have another question, though. I really try to relate everything to climate change. And in this case, I don't think we can. Health is a really big thing. Mm-hmm. And preventive health, we all talk about that all the time. But in terms of what you're seeing in the world, in your world with the types of things, are there massive changes? Do you see more of this, or are there diseases in the hospitals? There's lots of changes in the medical world I see right now, and you know, people going to facilities and getting infections. That's a big, hard mm-hmm. thing to have to conquer. But what are some of your observations about trends or things that are happening, good or bad?
The opioid addiction has really been
I'm glad you brought that up.
A bad thing for us. We're all the hospitals in Tucson are really taking a concerted effort to try to bring attention to that. I'm a member of the Arizona Hospital and Healthcare Association, which is really pushing to assist with education on that. That's one of the areas that we're concentrating on. And another area that we're talking about, this really isn't a rehab related, this is a healthcare related issue, is difficult conversations to have with your family regarding how much you want done when it comes to prolonging life. And AZAHA just received a large grant, and excuse me, and they're doing a lot of education on that. And it's not just for your elderly parents, but if you have grown children, that's also another area.
And it's happening. And those hard conversations are critical and important to have, because when you think about the potential outcomes, it's very hard. And I can tell you this right now, as a very healthy 67-year-old, your kids don't want you to have that conversation with them. It's like, Mom, Dad, don't talk about it, please. But you, out of love, have to have those tough conversations and say, do not do this, or please do this, or no matter whatever your wishes are. It's really interesting.
And the other way, people don't think about it with their children, you know, but I have a close personal friend whose daughter is going through something right now, and I recommended that they have those conversations before.
And you just hope and pray that that is not you as a parent.
Yes.
The hardest thing you could ever think of. So I'm glad you brought up the opioids, and mm-hmm. then I really having those tough conversations. And I think about all of the people I know in their lives right now that are facing some of these very things. So thank you. It's been delightful. And I always say time flies when you're having fun, and it's obvious that you love what you do. So everybody, we are coming up the holidays. It is December 13th. And my big question is, where did 2018 go? If you have an answer, please email me, Gina@Mrs. Green's World. So for the next 2 weeks, the Mrs. Green's World team is going to be enjoying our time with holidays and travel and company coming in. So we will have greatest hits for the Mrs. Greensworld show and our Down to Earth show. We do have one more, and it's going to be great. Seriously, Ray Martinez, and he's from TEP, and talking about the future of electric vehicles. And trust me, everybody better pay attention. The name of the show is No Gasoline, No Problem. Electric vehicles are our future. And everybody, Chapman is one of my biggest sponsors, and they say the future is electric vehicles. That's what we're going to be having. So I keep saying infrastructure. How are we going to do infrastructure? So Jeff Christensen, thank you for taking the time and for what you do and for what a great reputation HealthSouth, aka now Encompass Health, has in our community. And indeed, you do enjoy that.
Well, thank you so much for having me.